Well, I'm real glad to be here this afternoon. I'm not sure Betty's introduction is all that correct. I asked her to please get up here and speak the truth in love. And there are few in this audience that know me well and know that I do battle in this area of making maximum use of time. And I know you all do too. I don't know each of you and what the demands are on your time, but I'm sure they're heavy. Maybe some of you have read Future Shock, and you understand his viewpoint of what is happening in our culture and in our day and age, that the knowledge we must... Oh, hi, Mark. My sister made it, and she, of all people, knows how I fail, so she can stand up and correct me in case she wants to. He gives a good viewpoint of really what's happening, all the knowledge we have to assume and the things that we have to know in order to dysfunction in the 20th century. And just on our level, you might know that 10 years ago, some of you were in grade school, but for those of you who were purchasers 10 years ago, there are now twice as many items on the market as there were then, and this will continue to grow proportionately fast. And so we feel not only the infringement in this way on our time, but just in the demands that are made on us by our own families, by their functions and activities, if you have children, and just by living in this century, by our churches. I was just speaking with one woman, and we were sharing how we have to make decisions between the good and the best, and how even our churches pressure us in this area of time. So we're going to take a little look this afternoon at God's view of time and what he says scripturally to us, and then we're going to take a look at what we can do about our own time and controlling it, making maximum use of it, valuing it, and not wasting it. God has a lot to say in his word about time, and we'll first take a look at it from his viewpoint, which is baffling. Now, that isn't very encouraging to start out with, is it? But God is spoken of when Jesus' arrival was prophesied in Isaiah. He was, one of the names given to him was the Eternal Father. Now, we just cannot grasp the idea of eternity. Those of you that have children, have you ever had one come to you and say, "You mean God always was?" "Yes, and he always will be." "I can't understand that." "Well, honey, I can't either, but I believe it because God said it." And when we start to ponder on the fact that God always has been, and that he always will be, we just can't grasp that. Psalm 92 says, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." The view of the eternality of God, and now the eternality that we possess, if we have been born into his family, is just beyond our mental grasp, and we accept it by faith because he says it's true. I sort of sympathize with the Apostle John when he tried to begin his gospel, we'll call it, not his epistle, when he began it by saying, "In the beginning." What else could he say? How could he relate to this marvelous idea that in time God always has been? It's just impossible for us with our finite minds to grasp that, isn't it? We do have a measure of the eternal with us now. John 3:36 tells us that if we have received Christ, we have everlasting life. It's not something that begins with the point of our death. We have it now. And it's a promise that God has given to us that we're a part of eternity to spend with him. But I think God, knowing us, gave us some other clues in the scripture about time and the time in which we live now. You know, if we had a blackboard here or something like this, we could draw a line like this across it, just ending on each side, and just imagining that it would go on and on. And then right in the middle, we could block out a little space. and that would be historical time. And then for your own lifetime, just a pin dot. And that's where you are in God's time span. So keeping that in mind, I think we should look and see what God says about our time spans. And there's a lot said about it in the scripture. Time is brief. Now, you might not think so, especially if you're younger. Joyce, you've already related yourself as one of the older, so we'll share in that. But time passes more quickly all the time. Jerry's grandmother stayed with us for a couple of weeks recently, just went home last week. And she said, I just can't believe that I'm 78 years old and I have 12 great-grandchildren. I feel like a young girl. Time passes quickly. It's very brief. David in Psalm 89 said, oh, remember how short you have made man's lifespan. No doubt he was at the end of his life when he wrote this, and he had a perfect grasp on this idea. And God gives several images in the scripture of what our life is like. They're very graphic and very vivid, and I think we'll just take a minute to look at them. In James, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is 4:14, he says, for what is your life? It is as a little vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. And all of you have been out on a winter morning, a frosty morning, and you've gone, and your breath has been there for just an instant, and it's gone. And that's the picture God wants to give us of our lives. The psalmist again, 102:3 says, for my days are consumed like smoke. You've seen smoke going up out of a chimney or from a campfire, and it's just there briefly, and away it is. It's gone. Again, 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass. The grass withereth. We're seeing new life coming. Now it's spring. We see the grass greening, but it's not going to be long, and it's dry and brown again and gone. God wants us to grasp this and get this clearly in our thinking so that we act on it. Life is brief, and each day, this day that we're here in this building, is the only day in all the universe that we'll have the opportunities that we have today. The day will be gone, and that's it. And God impresses that. There are many other scriptural verses, and you can take time to look at them yourselves if you're interested. And then God impresses that time is valuable. Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 4:5, redeem the time, God tells us. And I think he's emphasizing here the need to be careful with the use of time, not to fritter it away, not to lose sight of the fact how short it is, how valuable, and that once it's gone, it never comes again. 1 Corinthians 4:2, we often relate this to our giving, but it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And God gives us time, and he makes us stewards of that time. And we are to be careful with it and to use it as wisely as though it was, which it really is, a gift from God. Each day of our lives is a fresh new gift from him. And then he says, too, a good book for this is Ecclesiastes, because it covers it in so many different ways and places throughout the whole book, especially chapter 3, that there's an order and a purpose and a time for everything in life. And God does not, when we trust him for the use of our lives, he does not allow things to go by without a meaning and a purpose. And if you're interested in pursuing that further, you might want to go into that and make a study of the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's go into talking about our time. We're going to break this down into several areas. We're going to talk about priorities in our lives from Scripture, and then we're going to talk about our goals and objectives. Goals, objectives, you can interchange the word however you like. And it's been brought up before this point in the conference to have goals. And then finally, we're going to end up with scheduling And we're going to do a little homework here in just a little bit. You know, we just get so rushed, don't we, and feel so pressured. And we don't know how to turn and get things rearranged so that we feel we're in control of the situation. We're like the wife that said to her husband, "Honey, the only thing that's holding me together is my hairspray." And we get to feeling that way, don't we? But as we talk about priorities today, I want to challenge you, if you have never established your priorities in writing, to do that. Now, you may have heard it before, but unless you've written it down and have it there in black and white before you, I want to challenge you to do that. And the same with your goals. And when we get to the schedule, we're going to work on that together. But we do that without really thinking about it sometimes, working on our schedules. And we don't back up and see the reason behind it. All right, what should our priorities be? Now, I'm going to speak as though we're all housewives here this afternoon. Some of you are engaged. One dear girl in here I know very well is engaged, be married in 2 months. And I'm going to speak, though, as though we're all in the same situation, keepers at home with husbands. With husbands, second, keepers at home. We'll get it straight here. But it's been stressed already in the first women's session. God is first. God must be first in our lives. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek Him first. I've recently finished reading Hudson Taylor's, one of his biographies, the one done by his son and daughter-in-law, and I was very interested in a comment that he made it took place about a century ago. Hudson Taylor first went in 1855, I believe, to China. Those of you that are familiar with his pioneering missionary work there. And then as the burden grew on his heart, he went back to England and he called for missionaries to come. And there was response, but surprisingly enough, the greater response was from women. And they had a certain number of couples apply and that many single women apply. So they had lots of women and they did tremendous, heavy labor that really should have been for the men to do. But Hudson Taylor would speak to them as they came to this foreign coast, everything very strange and peculiar to them, new pressures and demands made on them. And he told every arriving group of women, "Find your best time of day and give that to God." That's wonderful advice, and we hear it often. But I thought in particular of these women who from morning till night and sometimes through the night as they were in these Chinese inns would be besieged by the natives who were interested in every aspect of them and their persons and their activities. And Hudson Taylor told them, "Find your best time of day and give that to God." His best time was during the night because of the demands on him by people. And one of the missionaries that traveled with him said, I would awake 3 or 4 times during the night in a Chinese inn, and he would be huddled with a little native candle and the Word of God communing with his Father in heaven. So let's get this priority clearly in mind that it has to be first. I think you mentioned, Joyce, when you have a little baby, sometimes maybe it's only 5 minutes here or there, and you may have to feed the baby with God's Word beside you on a table in order to get this time to commune with Him. And make it a time when you, you're meeting with your dearest friend and your Savior, your God, your soul's lover. Not just a rote time reading, but a time of real communion and friendship with Him and worship and praise and then listen and pray. And wait until He speaks to you. Don't bounce into His presence and whip through a few verses and bounce right out again. Commune. Let him speak to you. Use variety if you need that to give you a real challenge in your time with God. And our next priority, and these are taken from verses that have been mentioned, Titus 2, primarily verses 4 and 5, our next priority is our husband, to meet his needs, to be his refuge and his helper and his lover and his friend. And since we all came to the conference to learn about this, I'm not going to pursue this particular aspect of it. Our next priority would be our children. Psalm 127:3 tells us that children are a gift from God. God does not give gifts lightly. And if we look into his word and check out what his gifts are, we'll see the value he places on what he gives to us. And, for example, we were just talking about eternal life. That's one of his gifts. Children are a gift from God to be treated as such, as a special treasure from him. Each child is unique. Each child was first loved of God before loved of you. And each child is there to be trained and raised to walk in the image of Jesus. So that's our next priority. And then Titus 2 tells us that we should be keepers at home. When we get down to our scheduling part of this session, that will occupy a lot of our time of necessity. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to make a determination between our priorities when we're coming down to actually working them out. Well, my husband would like me to come and talk to him about a certain household item, but the baby is back there screaming. Now, let me see. I better pray about my priority. No, we can't do that, can we? We have to handle things as they come up at the minute. But if we know in God's viewpoint what should be first, that controls our mental attitude, our spiritual attitude, and it will eventually control what we do. Our husbands also have the home in their priorities, although it's not in the same way when we speak of keepers, in the functioning of the home and the smooth operation of the home. And then, as God brings into your lives, you may have ministry in your priorities. There may be others that God will bring to you in whose lives you can have a significant spiritual impact, and that should be in your priority thinking. Now, what causes us to either reverse or confuse our priorities? Anybody have any suggestions? All right, well, one thing would be just ignorance, that we haven't looked into God's word to see where he would have us spend our time. Another possibility is external pressures. As we were just speaking here, maybe some good neighborhood philanthropy or church activities. Any number of external pressures that come to us to get us to use our time maybe as we should not. And then self-imposed pressures. This might be something like, do you feel you must have a spotless house before anybody can drop in? Or another pressure might be, well, children, you can't bring anyone home because this, you know, mother's worked all day now and it's clean here and we're not going to have any messing up. This would be a reversal, a confusion of priorities. Let's take a little time and see how we can use our time in working out these priorities that we've talked about. And we'll speak of goals here. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever written down goals, objectives, things you want to achieve. Now, let me make a distinction. An objective is not an activity. Let's just take an example so we can get this clear out of our thinking before we go on. All right, maybe if you had a spiritual goal to know God's word better, your activity might be 2 hours on Thursday afternoon in Bible study. Do you see the difference between a goal and an activity? And when you do your scheduling, those are activities. Your goal should be established before you try to schedule your time. Are there any questions here? Okay. Now, I know that downstairs, Jerry is talking to the men on a scope that I don't think we want to tackle this afternoon. He's talking about long-range goals, intermediate goals, and short-term goals. Now, long-range would be 10 to 20 years. Well, I feel that I've succeeded if I get through 1 week at a time or 1 month at a time. So I don't think we're going to try to establish any 20-year goals this afternoon. We'd probably be just feel fortunate if we made it for another 20 years. And but just for your information, if you feel challenged to work on this, long range would be 10 to 20, 30 years down the road. Short term would be like 2 years to 10 years. And one area that you might want to do this is with your children, or possibly with your husband too, but with your children, as you can see the time span that you'll have with those youngsters. You may wish to establish goals, although sometimes it has to change as the child changes. And then short-term goals, 1 week, 1 month, so on, very short-term. Get things under control for a short time and see that you can live with that and then move on. Okay, setting up our priorities, we said God first. But now when we speak of this first spiritual goal, I'm going to expand it into personal goals. I don't know if you have personal objectives for your own life. But if you don't, it's a good idea to sit down and write those out in these five categories. Or some of them we can mix and match as your own particular needs would demand. Number one, spiritual. Now, as we understand what goals are, let's talk about what some spiritual goals might be. We've already mentioned one, a better knowledge of the Word. What else do you think you might have for a spiritual goal for your own personal life? Training children. That's excellent in the fact that we have our own spiritual lives capable of training children. Do you know what God's Word says about that? Do you know what your attitude should be toward those children? Okay, that's good. What would be another? Okay, maybe an expanded memory program, or maybe just begin one. Anything else? Okay, just a deeper walk, would we say? A better knowledge of Him. Okay, know your gifts and use them, all right? Deeper prayer life. All right, now these are suggestions. Anybody have any they just really feel they have to slip in before we go on here? Okay, these are suggestions. Maybe in some areas that we've mentioned, your spiritual life is really under control. But maybe in another area, you feel that you need some help. Okay, those are some goals. How about mental? And now we might put mental emotional together, or you might put emotional social together, depending on your own temperamental makeup. But when we think about mental goals, what stimulates your thinking? What makes you sharp? That should be behind the basis of our goals. Okay? Excellent. More reading, basically sharpening up in all areas. A few years ago, Decision Magazine, you're familiar with Billy Graham's little magazine that comes out, carried a quite a lengthy list of Christian classics. Now, that isn't something that you speed through in a week's time, but it was an excellent list to challenge your thinking. Personally, I enjoy studying. And that stimulates me, but it may not you. You'd have to think through for yourself, what really makes you sharp. All right, then in the emotional area, when we think about goals there, what makes you happy and what makes you contented and relaxed? Any thoughts along here, along this line? That's one personal thing that I have, solitude. We have a very busy household and lots of activity, and solitude for me is emotionally refreshing. That may not be your case. Okay, what else? Maybe something like fellowship with others, and in fellowship I speak in the broad sense, not the spiritual sense. Or possibly recreation for you would make you happy. Just some ideas. It gives you a base from which to begin. All right, now, what do I have? Social or physical there? I think it's reversed up here. Social? Okay, any suggestions there? Okay, maybe use your social time as a spiritual outlet. I find a social goal setting very hard to do because, and I think most of us would, because our lives are so full, aren't they? And we feel by the end of the week, well, I've seen enough people this week, I'm not going to try to establish anything else. Lorna? Oh, that's excellent. New, just broaden your horizons in your social outlook. That's excellent. In the last month, we've kept twice college girls that were traveling through, one with the Moody Band and one with the Viola Chorale, I believe they call it. And our children were so thrilled with that. They just felt that was a treat and one of the best things that ever happened to them. And so sometimes if we have opportunities or look for them, something out of our ordinary social pattern, this is really enriching and helpful. Okay, then do I have it's the last one physical? Is that we skipped over physical? I had a little help with this, so okay, let's back up then. I guess we'll have to do to the physical. Now, this includes not only your health, but your appearance. And some of us may feel we want to dwell at length in this area. We're not really satisfied with what we either feel like or look like at the present. But what do you think might be some goals? Okay, excellent. Did you plagiarize that? That's excellent. I've used that book, by the way. Okay. Controlling our diet, all right? Excellent. Mark? Okay. Okay, you could expand the physical area to include the whole family, and that would be true of the diet also, this controlled food intake. Anything else? Do any of you feel you'd like a little more rest from time to time? Maybe you you feel that you need a new image and you want to work this out. For years, I've dressed in grays and browns, and I love those colors. And my husband likes brighter things. That's why I stand before you in this shocking dress. So that was one of my goals as funds and need permitted, that I would bring brighter, that I would develop this new image that would be more pleasing to him. So maybe you have something like that that you would want to work on. Anything else in the physical? Excellent. Okay, I appreciate that input. Just to accept physical limitations as they may come to you through age or whatever. Just to learn to adjust and to adapt. And she also suggested, what, like keep it to yourself? Was this the idea?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good idea. All right, we'll leave these personal objectives and goals and move on to husband and children, which will just briefly whip over these because we've already had some just outstanding ideas in this first session. Weren't you stimulated? You anxious to rush home and give some of these things a try? Just excellent. Don't leave before the conference is over. That's plenty of time. And with our children, we're going into the next session on children. Just some things, just general ideas would be something like with your husband, better communication, more time together, better spiritual sharing. Do you know how to do that well? Maybe more prayer time together, whatever. These are just general ideas, and you can take off based on your own relationship with your husband. Okay, and on children, there's already been mention of children. Anyone else? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have just rushed over that. Did anyone have something they'd really like to put in here under the husband? Goals for your relationship with him. And how about under children? Anyone want to get the jump on Joyce and Elvin here before them? Maybe something like spiritual victories for your children. Suitable companions might be another one. Or maybe in your home you're working on a good relationship between siblings, between brothers and sisters. Those might just be some ideas. Okay. Now, on the bottom of your sheet, you have home. Okay. Do any of you feel any bewilderments or bafflements in the operation of your home? Any objectives that you could just toss up? Okay. Maybe we could just put something like keep home in right perspective or something like that. Keep priorities clear here. Under this one, I don't know, Joyce, you would know Pat Carpenter. She was one of the first Navigator wives that had a real input into my life, and she invited me into her home weekly for Bible study, and I never knew her to be ill-prepared in Bible study. Everything she shared was just excellent. I do remember one time I went down there, and the house was disordered and dusty, but we had a marvelous time. She kept her priorities straight. And it made a great deal of difference to me, and I really appreciated that. That was not her norm. She's an excellent housekeeper. But that one time, I don't know what her day had been like, but it obviously had been something else. But she kept her priorities straight, and it was a lesson to me. Okay, anything else? Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Maybe we... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Excellent. And do you... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Excellent. Do you know what people will remember after they've left your home? Not what it looks like, but how you related to them while they were in your home. And it's helpful to remember that. All right. Maybe you want to change the atmosphere. Is that what you're saying there? Okay, or control the atmosphere. Or peaceful, or joyous, or we could name any sort of atmosphere that might prevail in the home. Maybe efficiency in operation. Or maybe, yes. Warmth, excellent. Okay, a feeling of acceptance and belonging. Somebody add something? And welcome, yes, very good. Okay, good. Now, we have our priorities or beginning thereof, and I really encourage you to work on this at home, because unless you have established goals to which to work, it's all too easy to let things just go helter-skelter and not to make an effort to reach those goals. There's enough aimlessness in life without those of us who know the real purpose to life to contributing to that aimlessness. This might take a little time. Maybe you'll have to get up an hour early or go to bed an hour late in order to take a little time to think these through. Now, those of us who are at home all the time with the responsibilities there, some of you may work outside the home, either part-time or full-time, but those of us that are there find that we have a lot of think time. Many of the duties that we have or responsibilities don't really challenge our minds. We learn it once, and then we can pretty well function without a great deal of mental effort. And so that's time that we should put to good use, that maybe you could think up some goals for yourself under the mental objectives to just find a way to maximize that time when you're doing the vacuuming, you know, or loading the dishwasher, whatever this is that doesn't really require a lot of thinking. Now, you may have a lot of interruptions, but that doesn't say you can't use the time. Okay, now we're going to go on and talk about, now that we have some objectives in mind, applying these in a practical sense. One danger here is that what works for me probably won't work for you. I don't know what your personal situations are. Mine is that I have four children, one still preschool, and I have a husband that's at home, which in many ways is a delight. But in these last 2.5 months, I've really been adjusting to that and learning to work around that to meet his needs when he needs them met and to allow some other things to slide. And I'm one reason I thought when I was asked to do this, they probably cast lots and I lost. But after I started working on it, I decided that God had really brought this to me because of my situation recently, and that I need to do some rethinking, rescheduling, and replanning of my time. And I've really appreciated it. Okay, now when we think of schedule, we have to think of our own surroundings. God has put us in a very orderly, patterned world. Life is based on schedules and cycles. All the time you've been here, you've been on a minute schedule in your respiratory system, totally unconscious. But God has patterned that into your body. That's a scheduled, rhythmic cycle that you have. We live on daily cycles. We eat pretty much at the same time each day. And we know that because our bodies object if we do not. And we sleep pretty much on a patterned basis. And that's a daily cycle. All our life is built on these cyclic plans of God. We have monthly cycles. We as women know that especially, don't we? The moon operates. You know, we look all around us and we see these patterns, seasonal patterns. Life itself, from birth through growth and to death, that's a pattern. And we see this all through our lives. So we see that God's pattern is order. And this is what we're striving to bring into our own lives. We must have order in order to maximize our time. Now, the point is, how do you get a grip on your time and maximize it? Well, let's talk about that. We have to talk about scheduling. What do we include? What do we eliminate? What's important? How are we going to master this time? How are we going to save some of it? And as I say, we just can't make a pat schedule because we have different capacities, different responsibilities, different demands. But when we talk about scheduling, we first have to know what goes into our schedule. Now, I'll repeat again, we're going to base this as though we're all housewives here without outside employment. And if you're not in that category yet, you probably will be someday. So let's go on that basis. What is a benefit of scheduling? Can any of you think of any? All right, organization. All right, efficiency. Security. That's excellent. Okay, those are all very good. A schedule, first of all, reveals to us needs. Reveals needs in our home, family needs, housekeeping needs, household needs, so on. And then someone's already mentioned this, it gives a system, a plan of attack, a way that we can get a grip on our time and the things that have to fill it. Okay, it gives us a plan of attack. And then someone, how did you phrase that? Security, all right. It gives us a sense of security. It frees us, I believe. We see what's there and we know what to do and we have an approach. Now, if your schedule becomes binding, discard it. That is not what it's for. Now, obviously you'll have days which feel like they're binding and they're pressured. But a schedule is not for that purpose. It's to free you. I guess it's been about 2 years ago that my next door neighbor took a homemaking course. And she was told in this course that if she did not have her work done by noon, she was inefficient, that the afternoon should be devoted to personal projects, to all sorts of outside activities and so on. Well, this woman was absolutely defeated after about 2 weeks. She had a large home. She had 6 children, a couple of them still preschool. Well, it's simply unrealistic to think she's going to finish before noon or even finish before midnight. Those of you that have responsibilities in that category. So do not feel tied to your schedule. If it says on here, on the schedule, Monday morning we wax the floor. Well, if you don't get it this Monday, you get it next Monday. That's what the schedule's for. It's to give us a sense of freedom and not to bind. And as has been mentioned before, it gives us efficiency and organization, and it helps us get a handle on just what we have to do. All right, now how do we schedule? Basically, I'll tell you what I do. I know what the needs of my home are. I have 4 basic areas in my home. One is food preparation, one is clothes care, and one is cleaning. Now, I can put everything under those. Now, a fourth, which in my case is a little bit pitiful, is gardening. But this might be a large area for you. Carolyn's laughing. She's seen my yard. but this might be a large one for you. But you can break down linen changing. Put that under cleaning. You know, that's essentially what it is. So however you break down, whatever the needs of your house are, they probably come under those categories. And you could function with that. Find out from your husband. Now, I work basically on a weekly schedule. Find out from your husband what his needs are for that week. Does he want to go to dinner, maybe? Let's get that in first. Or whatever his needs might be, discover those. It's always wise to check with the children because notes on what their needs would be in school might become lost, usually do become lost in transit. So check around the family and see what those needs are. Assemble all these things. Now, I personally use this. I don't know what you use. You may have something of your own. I have. Can you all see this? I have this kind of a schedule book. This is May, this month, and I jot down everything in here that I need to know. These are activities. This does not have anything to do with my housework. This is activities. People coming and going, children's programs, all this kind of thing. Jerry, he's gone in and out a few times, in and out of town, not the front door. But this helps me get a grip on what I'm doing for that month. Now, this one in particular goes 3 years. I've just finished one three-year calendar, and this is the first year on the second 3 years. It's a wonderful aid to me, and I would recommend it highly, but you might have something that works a little better. Then in my purse, every year, I go over to the Hallmark cards. I give them enough business during the year, I feel, that I deserve one of these. Do any of you carry one of these little things? Sure, I see that you do. Now, I'll go to church, let's see, where's May? Or I'll go out and be shopping or something, and somebody will say to me, Mary, listen, I'm going to give you a call about this, but I just wanted you to know that on the 15th we're going to do this and so, and we'd like you to be involved. So, oh, thank you. Well, I know by the time I get home, that's going to have gone just clear out of my head. And the 15th will come, well, we were expecting you. So I carry this with me, and if somebody speaks to me outside the home, I get this little thing out of my purse. We aren't too often without our purses when we're outside the home, and I jot it down in here. Then I transfer it to this book, and I've got everything under control, I hope. It doesn't always work that way. But one reason I like these far in advance, my dentist gives us appointments far in advance when we see him. He tells us we come back 6-8 months later. I have that under control. Things like the piano tuner likes to make his appointments. Jerry, I know where he's going next fall. He's making several trips, and I know where that will be and when. And we've just got a handle on the thing. You know, we've got it under control. And if you don't do that, if you try to keep it in your head, may I recommend that you get something, even if you just make it up yourself, a calendar, and jot down everything that you need to know. Another thing that this is good for, now this month has been busy for us. Well, that's about average, I guess. But I can control the time. Now, I can look ahead into June. See, this isn't too bad yet. Jerry's going away. That's why it looks like that. But I can look here, and I'll say, well, now, let's see. On the 13th, I think I'll make that Children's Day, and that's going to be special for the kids. Maybe we'll come up to Martha's. Are you busy that day? So I can look ahead, and I can plan special things for my family. This helps me keep those priorities clear. Or if the week looks like it's getting pretty heavy, Jerry likes to go out fairly often just so that we can talk things over. I make notes when Jerry's been gone on a trip and the kids do something cute or something not so cute. I mark that down on paper, and then we'll go to dinner. And I come with my big bag of notes, and he comes with notes from the trip. It sounds like a business meeting, but it's a dear time together. And that way he does not miss out on things that I know he would want to know about. And he brings things home for me. Or this doesn't even have to be when he leaves town. He can be in town and things get busy for us. But we have this time when we can get together and share. And so we try to save days for that. Okay, any questions or any other ideas that some of you have that might be workable for the rest of us and helpful? Okay. All right, another suggestion, we've sort of covered it, but when you come down to actually making out your own personal schedule, schedule heavy and light days. Maybe you'd want to make Monday and Wednesday, or depending on your responsibilities, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, heavy days. You do heavy cleaning or something, whatever. Busy days for you, full days. But save some light days that you can give to your family, that you can give to meeting some of these personal goals, projects you want to do. Control your days so that they aren't just frittered away. Well, let's see, what will I do today? Or what are we going to have for supper? Let's see, I'll have to make a trip to the store. Get a grip on this kind of thing so that you aren't frittering away your time in that fashion. Do take a little time for yourself. I talked, I guess we went to lunch. We took our little girls to the park yesterday, another wife and I. And she said, we were talking over some of these ideas. I was asking her if she had anything that, you know, I could bring to you that might be helpful. And she said that she has started taking 1 hour a day for herself. This little child sleeps in the afternoon. And instead of working in the home, she takes the hour for herself and just reads. The last few days, she's been out in the hammock. And or as yesterday, we just went to lunch. And she said, you know, that time means so... Maybe the Lord's trying to tell us something. That time means so much to me. And she said, I still get all my work done. She said, before I used to just churn through the day. My husband would come home at night and I'd just be all washed out. But she said, now I take my time every day, do something that means something to me personally. And then... I'm refreshed for the rest of the day. I'm eager to be with the family. So let's not let our houses control us. Let's keep our priorities straight and remember what they are. Learn to coordinate and simplify. When I was first married, I used to wander from one end of the house to the other. Of course, I didn't have much to do in those days. But I used to just wander around, and I didn't really coordinate my activities. Now, if you're going to be doing a couple loads of wash, I don't know what your setup is, but maybe you could do something in that area of the house and just stay there and work in that area of the house. If you're, maybe if you're the same thing, doing some wash, you have a child, take 15 minutes while that's churning away and read to the child. You know, use every minute. If any of you are interested in somebody who valued time and used it wisely, read Franklin's work. Get electrocuted here. Read Benjamin Franklin's work. He was excellent in this, his almanac. Any of you familiar with it? You read it in English lit, any of you? Just outstanding, and he has all these little sayings, these little words of wisdom, you know, for using your time. Learning to save steps and minutes. Be observant and learn from others. Maybe you need to get a book on family operation, home care. There was one published in 62 called The Art of Homemaking by, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, H-O-O-L-E, Hooley, I guess. Very good, but it's worth your time, but a few things are outdated. We have, I think, some products and methods that would be a little better today, but excellent, because she gives in there these same priorities. And when we're thinking of scheduling, let's always remember that people are more important than schedules, always. As I've mentioned, we have a rather busy household, and I try to remember each day to give my telephone and my doorbell to the Lord. Now, true, because my other had become obsolete in view of our new schedule and so on. We have a lot of people in for meals, unexpectedly. Had one yesterday at 7:15 for breakfast, didn't know he was coming. And fortunately, I'd been shopping the day before. But I have what I've done here is very simple, and you might want to do something like this or try your own, work out whatever would be good for you. I have all the days of the week here, and these, can you see this? I'm going to pass this out, but I just want to give you an idea before I do. These blocks are meals. Now, I don't fill in every meal unless I know I'm going to have people there for a week or two. Extra people. The meals that I know will have extra, I fill in. Then I've made this my shopping list over here so that I can function off this one piece of paper. These are my errands. Get Steve's shoes fixed, whatever. You know, I put my errands in here. I've also got the whole back of the sheet for extra things, and I imagine I'll be using it. Then these blocks in here are morning and afternoon to be filled in with activities and work. Evening I left pretty small because usually there's just one activity, and I wouldn't, you know, I don't try to make evening a work. By the way, I have a principle which I try to follow, and it doesn't always work. But when my children come in from school, I like to be through with what I'm going to do for the day and be available to them. And I used to think the same thing for Jerry, but now he's there all the time. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I guess I'm just available all the time. So if you feel this would be helpful to you, let's just pass this out. Whoop, here's a blank. And this might be a basis for you to begin working from. I see. How old are your children?
8 and 6.
8 and 6. Okay, they're in school. Yes. Just to encourage you, it gets a lot worse. My oldest is 8th grade. Well, I imagine that Joyce and Elvin will probably cover this, but I have priorities for my own children. We have a time together as a family. They have certain obligations to the family in the way of keeping their rooms tidy and so on. And schoolwork comes before play. No television during the week. Control television on the weekend. These are just a few ideas that we have. But they know what's first. This is not to exclude leisure for children, because they... I read an article several years ago. If I'd been speaking on children, I would have brought it. But it talked about the programmed, patterned lives we establish for our children. And they need free time in order to be creative and to allow mind-expanding experiences for them. And yet they need to meet their responsibilities. And I guess it's up to us to determine the priority those responsibilities have. Lauren? Yes. Okay, that's good. Uh-huh. So the child has a handle on it, just like we do on the schedule. Child knows, and the child has to read, of course, or maybe you can just help him. Yes. No, I have a basic pattern that I follow. Every day, make beds, vacuum a little bit, clean the bathrooms, you know, this basic schedule for every day. And then heavy cleaning, set up certain rooms a week. Now, heavy cleaning some weeks for me is dust and vacuum. But really, I like to clean the windowsills, wash walls when they need it. This year, I've been challenged because I've had a Bible study of women in my home every Tuesday morning. I don't lead the study, so I do not prepare. But they're all over the house because the children are downstairs and the women are upstairs, and they scoot all over the house. So the whole thing has to be tidied up. So that's been a help to me. But yes, I do program my time, change beds on Friday, this kind of thing. Get it written down so that I know. Now, what you might do if you want to take one of these and you're trying to program, these are all blanks. Well, anyway, if you're trying to program your time, is to fill out something like that with a basic weekly schedule. And then you can just pattern it in as you fill in your other activities. And then after a while, you get to the point where you know, well, I clean bedrooms on Thursday or whatever. And you won't have to write it in all the time. But just knowing what your week looks like helps to give you a freedom and to realize that you don't have to, oh, what am I going to do today? Let's see now. Oh, there's 5,000 things. You can see, well, if I don't get to it today, there's tomorrow, or there's Saturday, or whatever. Okay, I think our time's about up. I just want to make a few closing remarks or thoughts that God gave me as I was thinking about this. There really does not come a time of leisure in the life of a Christian, one who's serving God. Now, circumstances will change, yes. But God leaves us here on earth until he's through with our lives, and then he takes us. So that we don't figure, well, let's see, retirement now at 65, then I'm out of the pattern, and that's it. No, there is no leisure. Now, there should be control time, but not leisure. Jerry downstairs is sharing with the men this little InterVarsity booklet. It's just a little tiny thing. And we tried to get it from the Christian bookstores down there, and they were wiped out. But it's called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And the basic premise of the book is that urgent things crowd out important things from our lives. So, as was mentioned, somebody's coming. We've got to clean the house. Forget the children. You know, the urgent. So if you think of that sometime when you're in a Christian bookstore, you might want to pick up a copy and just browse through that. John 16:33 says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Our pastor says that in the Greek that word translates as pressures. Now, in our culture we don't relate very well to tribulation. We don't suffer very much, do we? But I can relate very well to pressure. In the world ye shall have pressures. But, Jesus says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We take our strength from him. And another promise he gives is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Don't look for your rest and peace elsewhere in a busy schedule. Look to Christ for that. So as you think about maybe making a few revisions in your time and trying to save some, value some, use it a little different. Let's remember that God has given us each day, and let's live it not with reluctance, but with conviction.